Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to our show. It is The Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 11th of October, 2012. Home of The Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. And every afternoon, we post the program to my website, along with the TucsonSentinel.com. TucsonCitizen.com has the program, and the website for the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, gvnews.com. They have a link to our program. We are live Monday through Friday right here on The Buckmaster Show. Today's lineup, Pima County Board of Supervisors Chair Ramon Valadez joins us with a big announcement today, this morning actually, concerning professional and amateur soccer here in the Old Pueblo. About 20 minutes past the hour, what a big weekend for Tucson and the southwestern region. It's Tucson Meet Yourself Time, 39th annual edition. We'll talk with Mia Hansen. Mia, of course, is one of the hardest working ladies in this town putting together the Tucson Meet Yourself event. 30 minutes past the hour. I'm looking forward to that half hour. That's going to be fun. 100 books for 100 years of statehood. We will break down the top 100 books of the past century. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment, let's get right now to Ramon Valadez. He is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Ramon, chair, Mr. Valadez, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for inviting me, Bill.
Tell me about this big announcement today concerning professional and amateur soccer in Tucson.
Well, Bill, this is a build out of what was done last year when Major League Soccer had a first pilot project of a spring training, spring game here in Tucson. The announcement today was with Major League Soccer. This next year, we're going to have 10 Major League Soccer teams doing spring training here. The county has announced a $2 million investment where we're going to convert five of the fields on the north side of Ajo to do this. We're going to do one of the field is going to be a medium-sized facility for about 5,000 people. One of the will be smaller for about 1,000. And obviously for the big games, we'll be using the stadium that can seat up to 15,000. All of this is being done with the settlement money from the White Sox.
And obviously Major League Soccer feels there's a future in Tucson.
Absolutely. Last year we had a tremendous turnout. We got a lot of publicity, not only locally, but nationally. So in this year's spring training kind of scenario, the final game, which will be almost a tournament-style kind of program, will be nationally televised from the Keno Stadium.
So this money will come, as you say, from the settlement? Was it with the White Sox?
Correct. So this won't be public monies that are used for the conversion of the fields. They come from the settlement with the White Sox.
So a lot of work. Will a lot of work be needed to convert this? You said there'd be seating in one of the facilities for 5,000 or 6,000 people. Or is this very doable?
This is very doable. And frankly, I think it's very, very good for Tucson and for Pima County. As obviously once the Major League Soccer teams leave, it will be available not only for our FC Tucson team, but for our amateur and youth sports leagues.
Speaking with Ramon Valadez, he's the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Of course, you are involved in an election campaign. You are up for another four-year term running as a Democrat. You've been on the Pima County Board of Supervisors for the past 9 years. You have an opponent in James Kelly, the Republican. Mr. Kelly, by the way, will be with us here on the Buckmaster Show on Monday. What are the major issues as far as you're concerned, Supervisor Valadez?
You know, the major issues are still jobs. I mean, there's just no way around it. 4 years ago when I sat here and I asked people to support me and vote for me, we recognized that we were going to have a tough time. And I said back then, I said, look, I've got the experience and the leadership that we need to make sure that Pima County government stays in a good place. Over the last 4 years, we've had no furloughs, no layoffs. We're in the black. We have a reserve fund that's maintained our bond rating. We've been able to start looking. We've created an economic development plan. We're starting to see some fruition through the Accelerate program. We've worked with Oracle Bridge Mine, Freeport Mac Moran, and I either had MOUs with them or helped with their expansion. So now we've gotten through those 4 years that we talked about that were going to be tough. And at this point, Bill, when you look back into the late 80s, when there was the crisis of the RTC, we saw less than one-tenth of 1% drop in the assessed valuation of Pima County. During the last 4 years, we have seen a drop of just over 16%. Again, during the RTC crisis, which we consider one of the worst time periods in American history, less than one-tenth of 1%. During the last 4 years, a drop of over 16%. We're in the black. Our bond rating is maintained. We're providing basic services, no cuts to basic services, and we're in a position now where we're starting to attract some of those businesses. We've obviously spent monies also to preserve Raytheon, our largest private employer. We're proposing an aerospace and defense corridor, and we're moving forward with that. Accelerate is a wonderful example of the things we've been able to do. So is the expansion at Ventana Roush. So again, working with partners, whether it's Oro Valley, the city of Tucson, or others, we're stepping forward and we're doing those things.
One of the things your opponent is pointing out that just not enough work has been done on road repair in Pima County.
Right, and part of that, that's a much bigger discussion than just a local discussion. We traditionally in this country have used gas tax to pay for our roads. And as we're seeing the mileage increase in our cars and having alternative fuel sources, that source is less and less able to keep up with the needs that we have. We need to have a very realistic discussion. Obviously, earlier this year, we set aside between last fiscal year and the current fiscal year $20 million, and we are preparing to do another $20 million in the next fiscal year for road repair in unincorporated Pima County. That's only a short-term solution. I mean, even if you look at the bond program for the city, again, a short-term fix. We as a country, and certainly as a state, need to look at how do we realistically fund our transportation, because our transportation is crucial to our economic development. And we recognize that, which is why our economic development plan does call for improvements of transportation between the employment centers in our region.
Yeah, I was going to say about you had mentioned in a piece that was in the Star that the Pima County Board is really the only government locally to spend any local funds to protect Raytheon.
Correct. What we've done so far, and these discussions began really probably 5-6 years ago, and I'll touch on a couple other things. We recognized. And in large part through the discussions that occurred when the trail did the visitation with Huntsville, who actually got the program that we had aspired to get here in Pima County, that there was a very big difference in terms of what they had done in Huntsville and what we were doing here. And we realized that there was a need to create a research park immediately adjacent to Raytheon to both attract subcontractors and small businesses in the area so that our businesses, our folks, were the ones that were getting the contracts with Raytheon, because there's a very big difference when you have to call on the phone or video or walk across the street. And as strange as that sounds, that has led to a great deal of the success that they've had since 1962 in Huntsville. So we've tried to duplicate that. Another part, obviously, going back to what I was talking about in terms of our 4 years ago asking for people's support, we understood that we weren't going to be able to do much until the end of the end of the 4 years back then. So what we did is we've spent the last 4 years having roundtables with business people, because we discovered that by having those discussions, we found out what the real problems were, many of which, frankly, we wouldn't have seen otherwise. But that one-on-one dialogue of those roundtables over the last 4 years have led to a lot of the innovation. Right now, we're about to do the grand opening of the Veterans One-Stop Center. for returning veterans so that they can get placements, education, and frankly, that employers can take advantage of the VAW Act through their federal tax filings. We are looking and are working right now on getting a business one-stop so that businesses have one place to go. So that instead of going to the 30, 40 different places to get their business started or to improve their business, they go to one place.
Similar to what they did, I think they're doing that in Marana. Yeah.
I think they are. I'm not sure. But what we're talking about doing is initially started as a Pima County and then make sure that everybody else works in and works together.
So that's a one-stop business center to get cut through the red tape?
Right. And it'll be located downtown.
All right. Supervisor Ramon Valadez, where can people find out more about your campaign, learn more about you and whatever?
Well, I have a website. My website is www.ramonvaladez.com.
And are you doing any kind of fundraisers or anything like that that you would like to announce?
I'm doing my fundraiser right now through my website. I've had a number of events. Right now, we're concentrating on our grassroots efforts and getting out there and trying to get our message across.
Okay. Supervisor Ramon Valdez, thank you for being with us, talking about his reelection campaign. And at the beginning of the interview, the announcement today that 10 Major League Soccer teams will be holding their spring training in Tucson next spring, and Pima County will be using about $2 million in the White Sox settlement money to improve facilities at the Keno Sports Park. Did I get that pretty much right?
Correct, and that the final game of the whole season will be on national TV.
There you go. Okay. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up now on 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk about Tucson Meet Yourself right after this.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Up now on 1221 on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are on Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Tucson Meet Yourself time, 39th year for this festival that has grown now to become the Southwest's largest folklore festival, and I think growing into one of the nation's top folklore and folk life festivals. Mia Hansen is the executive director of Tucson Meet Yourself. Mia, how are you, and happy birthday.
Oh, Bill, thank you. I'm doing great, and happy birthday to anybody out there. It's Tucson Meet Yourself's 39th birthday. I am down here at the festival grounds. We're setting up. We're thrilled to have hundreds of performers, folk artists, food vendors. It's going to be a great festival this year, Bill, and we want to invite everyone to come down this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We start at 11 o'clock on Friday, and we go to 10 p.m., both Friday and Saturday. And from Sunday, it's from 11 to 6 p.m. The festival is free, as it's been for 39 years. Although this year we are asking people to think about giving their first buck to help keep the festival going. We hope everyone will pitch in a little bit.
So give their first dollar to the festival.
That's right. We're going to have some wonderful entry points where people will get a I Love Tucson Meet Yourself sticker for donating a dollar, and their free festival program will guide them throughout the whole festival grounds. You know, Bill, this year, actually, we've got some really exciting new vendors. I just met Natasha, who's going to have Russian bite-sized luxuries. So we're going to have Russian food. We're going to have Bosnian food. Chef Alicia from Chef Alicia's restaurant is bringing Taste of Bosnia to the festival. And we just have some terrific performing groups that are coming. This year we've got three guest artists from Trinidad and Tobago who are going to be leading Caribbean steel drum and limbo dance workshops. So we hope everyone will come down for that.
All the way from Port of Spain, Trinidad.
True Trinidadian carnival. Of course, it's known worldwide as being the most festive carnival.
And our lovely producer, Rosemary Brandt, says she cannot wait for the cooking demonstrations to go along with those. What do you have, 60, at least 60 different countries represented with your food booths?
We do, and we have a special heritage foods and culture kitchen over on the main live plaza. And over there on the library plaza in the culture kitchen, you can listen to some wonderful demonstrators, some local cooks, who are actually mostly recent refugees from places like Burundi and Congo and Korea, and they're going to be cooking up their traditional homemade, I think there's pumpkin stew, and there's some kind of delicious Congolese beans and rice dish. So you can come over and learn how to make some really interesting foods that haven't been seen much here in Tucson before. Or taste it, for that matter.
Mia Hansen is with us. Mia is the executive director of Tucson Meet Yourself. And like the Tournament of Roses, which is a 365-day-a-year operation, putting this whole thing together, Mia, really does take the whole year, doesn't it?
It does. We start, we never stop, really, because this festival is all about Tucsonans. this festival really is where all of us come out, and for 3 days, we sort of create a little idealistic village, if you will, of a microcosm of what we hope the world could be. And, you know, that was Big Jim and Loma's idea when they started this thing long ago. People getting together to share their beautiful differences and their beautiful, you know, the things that make us all together, I guess, one big family here in Tucson. So I've been working on it now for about 10 years, and it feels like 10 years. I've been down here since Saturday setting up the park. It looks great. Thanks for the great weather, by the way.
Yeah, things cooled off a little bit and should be perfect by tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit quickly, Mia Hansen, about some of the new things that are going on, including the Tucson AIDS Walk has now been enveloped into Tucson Meet Yourself.
Yes, we're thrilled to be partnering with Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, and they have brought the AIDS Walk Tucson 2012 downtown, right in the heart of Tucson Meet Yourself on Sunday morning. And we are still registering people. You can register right here at the festival while you're down here. And come on down and register for the AIDS Walk, which is on Sunday morning. Everyone gathers around 8 o'clock, and it's right down in the main library plaza outside of the Joel D. Valdez main library. The walk's only going to be about a 2.2-kilometer walk, so it's not very far. But all of the proceeds, all of the walkers raise money for research, outreach, education, and HIV/AIDS testing, which will also be available at the festival this year over in the main library plaza as well. So it's a really great partnership.
And guess what? We have not mentioned probably the most important thing of all. This event is free.
That's right. It is free. It has been for so many years. You know, Bill, we put this on as a labor of love. Tucson Meet Yourself is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We have to raise the money from zero every year to make Tucson Meet Yourself happen, and somehow we do it year after year. People are generous. We have sponsors that are helping us out year after year. We're thrilled this year. We have some really wonderful sponsorships. I want to mention that Pima County has been incredible this year. They have stepped up and are supporting us with financial aid as well as in-kind support, as well as the Pascua-Yaqui tribe. You know, the Pascua-Yaqui tribe has just been so generous over the years, and we really thank them and all of our sponsors who come out to help out and help make this festival a wonderful place for people to come down and celebrate.
It can be overwhelming for folks who have not been for the first time because, after all, we're talking about 60 acres in downtown Tucson. Give us a few tips for first-time goers to the festival.
Yes. Well, I would always start by going to our website and checking out our parking tips. You know, there's 15,000 parking spaces downtown, and it's really not that hard to get around down here. This is the one year that we have a lot of construction going on, but it's easy to navigate. It might take you a little extra time. Just be prepared for that. And you can come in from any number of entry points to get into the downtown. Park in any number of garages, including the Public Works Garage, which is right off of Alameda Street, the Library Garage, or the El Presidio Park Garage. Those three are on the north part of the festival. And you could start your journey in El Presidio Park and head over to the Library Plaza. Then you could also park down by the TCC, which is the Tucson Convention Center. All of their parking lots are available. There is a parking fee, but it's pretty reasonable. You can also park in the Hotel Arizona's parking garage or La Placita Village parking garage, and it's very easy access to walk right into the open plazas and spaces that make up Tucson Meet Yourself. Our map's on the website. That's TucsonMeetYourself.org, and we sure hope everyone comes out and supports our great community out here and takes home lots of food. Eat it and take it home.
Great idea. And 100,000 people are expected to check it out. So this is a huge event. Albuquerque just had their balloon festival. Well, we're right up there now with the big festivals with Tucson Meet Yourself, 39th year for this. And Mia, I know it's a huge undertaking. There'll be a lot of volunteers out there that can help people, correct?
That's right. We have over 500 volunteers. We're just thrilled. All of our volunteers show up every year, help us put this whole thing together. You know, I'm watching the ultimate volunteer, Loma Griffith, who helped found this festival. is walking around right now with a radio, volunteering herself, and I'm on with Bill Buckmaster, Loma. Loma says, hi, Bill Buckmaster, God bless you. Come down and see us.
I will. Thank you very much. My regards to the Griffiths, Mr. and Mrs. Big Jim, of course. Thank you very much. Mia, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The government says 170 people have been sickened in the meningitis outbreak linked to tainted steroid shots, and 14 of them have died. An American diplomat has arrived in Libya now to temporarily fill the role of the late Ambassador Chris Stevens. He was killed in the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. American Airlines says it will cut passenger carrying capacity by 1% in the first half of November as it tries to recover from widespread delays and a spike in cancellations. Looking at Wall Street, the key averages are modestly higher. The Dow is up about 9 points at 13,553. The NASDAQ ahead 6 and the S&P trading 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The following is not an act.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. From now until December the 14th, the University of Arizona Special Collections is showing an exhibit titled Arizona 100 Essential Arizona Books for the Centennial. AZ100 is a diverse list of must-reads selected by a group of seven Arizona book lovers. One of them is with us now, Dr. Bruce Dingus. Bruce is one of the seven selectors. Bruce is director of publications at the Arizona Historical Society. Bruce, how are you?
I'm excellent. It's a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Thank you. And I have to begin with how this process came about. I mean, you're talking about 100 years, lots of books to consider. You've got seven selectors. So give us a little bit of a background on how you put this whole thing together.
Well, I think in retrospect, we're all a little bit amazed that it's actually finished. That may be one of our biggest accomplishments. But like a lot of good ideas, this started with the Tucson Festival of Books 2 years ago. One of the contributors, David Laird, former U of A librarian, a protege of Lawrence Clark Powell, and Jim Owens, who's an antiquarian book dealer here in town, were on a panel and got to talking, as I understand it. And since both of them have a connection with California, flashed back to a book called Zamorano 80, which was a group of Los Angeles book aficionados put together in the 1940s. A list of keystone books on California, and they thought, well, why can't we do that for Arizona? They approached Roger Myers at U of A Special Collections and about doing the exhibition, and then came to me about doing a issue of the Journal of Arizona History and possibly a book. And I was looking at the time, coincidentally, for a centennial project, and this seemed like a great idea, and it went from there.
Let's talk a little bit about the panel of judges. Of course, you mentioned Jim Owens, antique book dealer, owner of Thorn Books here in Tucson, Roger Myers, librarian at Special Collections, UA Libraries, David Laird, author, editor. We know David very well from Southwest Books of the Year. He's been a contributor for many years and former director of the University of Arizona Libraries. Alfredo Gonzalez, bookseller, owner of Chiricahua Book Company. Steve Cox, director emeritus, UA Press. Steve was there. I think he has more than 40 years experience as a writer, editor, and publisher. And, of course, Bill Broyles, also a Southwest Books of the Year contributor, retired teacher, writer, research associate at the UA Southwest Center. And, of course, you, Bruce Dingus. So you had seven folks who really know books. Now, did all of you agree on some books that really had to be on this best of 100 books?
Surprisingly, we did. What happened when we got the committee together, we all retired to our separate lairs, and each of us put together our list of 100 books. We then sat down and compared them. Anything that was on two or three of them got serious consideration. And then from that core, we moved on to other books that we thought needed inclusion, and that involved some discussion and debate.
Well, Gift of Angels, the fantastic book from Dr. Bernard Fontana and Edward McCain, the mm-hmm. photographer, that's the most recently published book that makes the list of 100. This came out in 2010, A Gift of Angels, The Art of Mission San Javier del Bac. Fantastic, beautiful book that really offers an identification of nearly 200 saints and angels that adore San Javier del Bac. How about the oldest book that made the list? That was a book published in 1833.
James Ohio Patty's adventures as a beaver trapper in Arizona. A book that people debate about how fanciful it was, but it really is one of those books that's kind of iconic, in not just in terms of Arizona, but in terms of the fur trade and whatever in exploration in Arizona. and gives a capitalized view of Arizona in that period. That's the earliest published. Probably people don't realize necessarily that Arizona, since it's the baby state, 100 years old, it really has a literary tradition that goes back to 1540. So the oldest books are really the books of the Coronado expedition and the early explorers, Spanish conquistadors in Arizona.
Lots of history on this list. I mean, starting with history of Arizona and New Mexico, 1530 to 1888, and on and on and on. A book that I always found fun and still do, Arizona Place Names.
Yeah, that's another one of those sort of iconic books. If you don't have a copy of that on your bookshelf, then there's something wrong with your library. It's one of those books that even in my home office, I will find myself leaning back and grabbing off the shelf because I need that little piece of information about a place in Arizona.
Getting back to books that everyone agreed on, these books, by the way, are listed in alphabetical order. So right at the top is Ed Abbey's iconic book, The Monkey Wrench Gang. I guess pretty much everybody agreed on that one.
Yeah, that was another book that was an immediate pick. And sometimes, and Abbey's a case here, where there's an author that you really know needs to be on there. And yet when you look at it, you realize that they didn't publish that many books about Arizona, even though they're identified with the state. I think J.P.S. Brown's Forests of the Night is one of the great Southwestern novels, and yet it's not set in Arizona. The same thing, we were prepared to put Cormac McCarthy's Blood Meridian on the list. Again, most of us agree that that may be the great Southwestern novel, but when David went back and looked, very little of it is actually set in Arizona. So Abbey's Monkey Wrench Gang not only is, as you say, his sort of masterwork, it's one of the few books that really is set in the state.
One of my favorite authors, Charles Bowden, Chuck Bowden, made the list. And actually, I believe this is Chuck's first book. I'm lucky enough to have actually a first edition of this in the Hacienda de Buckmaster, Killing the Hidden Waters.
As do I. And this sparked just a little bit of a debate. There was general agreement that the book ought to be on there. The disagreement was, and there were several authors like this, do you stop with just one Chuck Bowden book? And so what we ended up putting this one on here. I think that when all is said and done, this is the book that Chuck is going to be remembered for. It really was groundbreaking when it was published. It sold almost nothing. And then suddenly people realized what a terrific book it was, and it's still in print today.
Bruce Dingus is with us. Bruce is one of the seven selectors. Bruce is director of publications at the Arizona Historical Society, one of the seven selectors who had the huge task of whittling down 100 years of Arizona literary history and coming up with 100 essential books for the centennial. Let's talk about another very famous author, Barbara Kingsolver. Barbara's first book made the list. Is that correct? I think it's Barbara's first.
It is.
The Bean Trees,
right? The Bean
Trees.
And that book makes me smile because it's I remember when the book came out, and I went to a book signing for Barbara at Walden Books, and I was the only one there. I recall years later, Barbara was back here for, I think, the Prodigal Summer. She had a book signing in the parking lot at Reader's Oasis, and I was number 106 in line. And when I got up to her, I reminded her of that moment. And it's a measure of just how good Barbara is and how far she's come since The Bean Trees.
Yeah, I remember interviewing her on TV after that book had come out. Her first book, and what a great career she has gone on to have. Were there some heated arguments about, you mentioned a book that didn't make the list. Were there some other books?
There were, and I'll just speak for myself on this one. I wouldn't say that there were heated arguments. What ended up happening is that when we got to the point where people had their favorites, it then became a discussion, if this book goes on, that one has to come off. I really wanted to see Jim Clark's The Last Rampage on the list. It's his story of the Tyson brothers. And it's listed as one of the six best nonfiction crime books in the United States, and just a terrific read. But after a lot of debate, again, it just came down to a question of, okay, then what do we take off and replace it with? La Mirabella, Alfredo Vea Jr.'s marvelous novel about cotton picking in the Coolidge area, is another terrific book. There's any number of those that that could have made it. Many of these are listed either in the introduction or in the entries to the books as things people ought to read.
When we continue, Bruce Dingus talking more about the 100 essential books for Arizona's centennial. That's coming up as we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Looking for a great weekend getaway? May I consider and ask you to consider Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. The arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, the mile-high elevation makes for cool days and crisp nights. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and there is no shortage of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, Continental Divide RV Park, and the Faywood Hot Springs Resort. Check out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our discussion with Bruce Dingus. Bruce is the Director of Publications at the Arizona Historical Society. He was one of seven selectors who put together a very diverse list of Arizona 100 essential books for the centennial. And Bruce, we were talking during the break that this really isn't referred to as a best of 100, the top 100 books of Arizona.
No, and deliberately so. Picking the best of anything is a fool's errand, and we never would have completed this if we had tried to do that. What we wanted to do was to pick books that select books that will give readers a sense of what Arizona is and who Arizonans are. As Bill Broyles said, not all the great books are on this list, but all the books on this list are great.
So it's pretty much an essential bibliography.
Yeah, you could say. I think not even in the sense of a bibliography. We wanted people to look at the titles, read the entries that accompany them, and come away with a sense of this is who we are as a state and a people.
Gary Nabhan, a well-known author and Southern Arizonan, his book, The Desert Smells Like Rain, I think this was one of his first books.
It was, and there's any number of Gary's books that could have made it onto, but this is where it started, and it's still a classic book.
Bruce Dingus, let's talk about some of your favorites.
It's hard to pick. It's like asking you to pick your favorite children. But the one I always come back to is Wallace Stegner's Beyond the 100th Meridian, his story of John Wesley Powell and the Grand Canyon adventure. And that book kind of epitomizes what we were going for in this list. It's a book that's critical to understanding Arizona and the West, but it's also a work of great literature by a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, and that's the kind of combination we tried to come up with when we put this list together.
You had Beautiful, Cruel Country. That's a classic.
It is, and it's this is one of those books, kind of like Bunnies in some respects. It's not only a classic piece of literature. The woodcuts that illustrate that book also make it a work of art, just like the photography in Bunny's Gift of Angels.
Yeah, Dr. Fontana's Gift of Angels, fantastic book. Arizona, a State Guide. This is an interesting book. This during the Depression, writers put together as part of the WPA guidebooks to all the states, didn't they?
Yeah, and that one again, you almost have to put that on. It's sort of a marker to judge, you know, where we were in 1930 and how far we've come both culturally and historically.
One of your favorite books that made the list, The Miracle Life of Edgar Mitt. You say this is actually one of the best piece of writing that you've encountered in your whole career. Tell us a little bit about that book. And I remember interviewing the author.
Yeah, I'm always proselytizing for that book. Brady Udall grew up in eastern Arizona, up in the St. John's area. He's part of the Udall family, which is, you know, an extended group of people. But he's just a terrific writer, and this book just captures. He told me that he got the idea when he used to play football against the students at the Indian school at Fort Apache, and it's a combination of just really gut-wrenching pathos and really great good humor and fun writing. And he followed up with A Lonely Polygamist, which is another terrific book, but not set in Arizona.
Here's another classic book for newcomers. Certainly, this is almost a must read. Tell us about Desert Year.
Joseph Wood Crooch. He's someone, unfortunately, that people probably don't remember much anymore, but he was a New Yorker art critic who moved out to Arizona in the 1950s, late in life and retirement, and simply fell in love with nature around him and wrote a series of books about the Grand Canyon and other subjects that are still classics. And as I think we said in the entry to this, it's interesting to contrast this with Ann Wooten's book to get a sense of men and women's sensibilities in writing about the desert.
Another book that, first of all, archaeology is well represented. Emil Howery's Prehistory of the American Southwest is certainly a classic, looking at the pivotal concepts about the culture, such as the Hohokam and the Mogollon.
Yeah, and Howery is one of these people, again, not only is he a pioneer in his profession, but he was also a very facile writer, so that people, ordinary readers, can pick up one of his books and really be overwhelmed by the story as well as by the facts that he's presenting.
Dr. Tom Sheridan's book, Arizona, made the list, didn't it?
It did. Tom's has written an interpretive history of the state of Arizona, which has been revised and updated in the centennial year. And again, it's a place where somebody really needs to start if they want more than just the facts, but to know what it all means.
Was there any theme that seemed to emerge when the judges got together when you were selecting these books?
I don't know that it emerged in our conversations, but it certainly has to me since. I think in looking back at this, when you go back as early as the 1540s, what you really experience, particularly among diarists and people who wrote reminiscences and their memoirs, is the sense of awe and surprise that they had when they visited Arizona. This was like something they had never seen before, and that sense of amazement tends to color their writing and really makes it graphic and something that speaks across the years.
Geronimo, a couple of Geronimo books.
And there's a new biography of Geronimo just out this week. So, yes, Angie DuBose's biography of Geronimo is the classic published in the 1970s. But Robert Utley, the former chief historian for the National Park Service, has just published a new biography of Geronimo. It just came out this week, and it's fantastic.
How about Zane Grey, so famous early 20th century writer, Western writer?
Yeah, and this is a difference, too, between being – why this isn't a best list. It's hard to argue that Zane Grey was a great writer, but he sure was a well-read writer. And here was a case where we were going to include Riders of the Purple Sage, which is probably his most famous book, and we had to shift it because it's set in Utah for the most part, and so we shifted to his book set near Rainbow Bridge.
Glad to see Going Back to Bisbee, Dr. Richard Shelton's book, made the list, and a book that didn't make the list that I think probably should have, Bruce Dingus, is Luis Urrea. Some of his work did not make the – well, none of his work made the
list.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen The Devil's Highway on it, but again, this involved some back and forth and whatever. And again, this is why this isn't a best book list. And Luis is treated as, at some extent, his body of work in the introduction so that people are aware that he is out there.
So the best place for folks to get a hold of the list would be go to the University of Arizona Special Collections website.
Right.
And they have the entire list there and a little bit of a synopsis as well. So it was a big job, but somebody had to do it, and I'm glad you were one of them, Bruce Dingus, putting together a list of the we're not going to call it a best of, but let's call it 100 essential books for Arizona. Bruce, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Bruce Dingus will join other selectors of the Arizona 100 list October the 18th for a panel discussion from 7 to 8:30 at the University of Arizona Special Collections. That's in the main U of A library. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Coming up this afternoon, John C. Scott from 4 to 5 right here on KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, talking about haunted houses on Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Other guests that they have planned, Carolyn Cox, the Southern Arizona Republican Party chair, will be a guest, and Herb Stratford will be talking about a preview of what to do this weekend. That's coming up on Wake Up Tucson. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thanks very much for being with us. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow with our Friday Focus interview with Jeff Rogers, chair of the Pima County Democratic Party.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.